When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets. Always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In the next 60 minutes, your new slide, Vice President and MPP flag bearer, Dr. Bawumia, in a charm offensive in the party's stronghold of the Ashanti region. We'll hear from the Asantehene, who has been asking the Vice President to acknowledge economic shortfalls and present candid, pragmatic solutions to the country's challenges. We'll hear from some chiefs in the Ashanti region who are already warning the Vice President to ensure that he keeps his word if elected.
On making sure, say, nyama wa kano oniso
at the district assembly level. Eho na mesere ne say, onhwe honum kakra. Na government powers no, omuntimi decentralizing the kakra.
Also tonight, minority issues 24-hour ultimatum to government to clear all Global Fund locked up consignments of medication from the ports or phase it off.
It is our expectation that within the next 24 hours, we must hear something positive with regards to the clearing of the containers containing the drugs from the port.
Well, details as the minority calls for an explanation as to how 80 million cedis allocation for counterpart funding was used.
And what shocks me is that in the 2023 national health insurance formula, an allocation of not less than 80 million Ghana cedis was made to that effect.
And in business, government statistician expresses concerns over jump in inflation on transportation as he calls on policymakers to address issues causing fuel price increases.
And in sports, the Ghana Football Association is hailing Otoado for recent forms of the Black Stars, but urges Ghanaians to be measured in the expectations of the team.
Also tonight, uncertainty over this year's BEC and WASI examinations, with government owing WAEC 300 million cedis. We are in Parliament tonight, where the minority have been asking the government to cough up the funds.
For basic education, we won't talk about that because they owe them well over 90 million.
The BEC is coming on next month, and they need to prepare financially with resources.
That if the trend should continue this way,
and they are going to have problems with the conduct of the examination.
I'll take your views and comments here on Newsnight, 055-111-1997. My name is Evans Menta. Headquarters is always brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity, SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and SIMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness, and Beauty, Chalkbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Ubridge Foundation. I want to take you to the Ashanti Regional Capital, Kumasi, tonight, where the Vice President and MPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, has been on a charm offensive there, meeting with chiefs in an attempt to woo them ahead of this year's elections. And we've also been hearing tonight from the Santokhinne himself, Otunfo Osaitutu II. He's been asking the flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party to acknowledge the shortcomings of the current government and also propose pragmatic solutions to the challenges that the country is facing. I want to take you live there now. I want to bring in Nana Bwachi Yadom, who's been following the Vice President today on his rounds and joins us right now. And Nana, let's start with Asantehene himself. He's been pretty candid today, not mincing words as he engaged the Vice President.
Well, Evans, the Asantehene has come clear to the New Patriotic Party flag bearer, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia. He tells him that he must admit the current economic shortfalls. He must tell Ghanaians the real situation on the ground. He must come clear to the people of Ghana. The Asantehene has been saying that for Ghanaians to trust the Vice President and his government in seeking another term, which is the third term, the Vice President must admit the current shortfalls of the current government, that is the Akufo-Addo Bawumia-led government, for the MPP to gain the for the people of Ghana to gain the trust of the MPP, for them to vote for them in the 2024 December 7th election. This is what the Asantehene had to say.
Ghana for whom you are can help my Ghana for you know, Tia, see any who is and passes a woman dinner here. Bow between I and Sakraya Magana, Kosu. Once a sign, I want to say that. For winning any day, Magana for you know, one two pass in church, and you walk in movie and the wood church in Miss and Padne Yamabana, see now Yakamba there. So be Yamagana, Yam. A party for if you so ever quiet baby. On no war, but on our so once we hear Ramma next as I would be an army at Tia, see ye.
Joe.
One more cry, ye knew of a cry, church, me and Tiasi.
Joe.
Near Munus and Passe. Say ye knew what cry, they woke in here.
Joe.
Passy a boa, who bow be in ye. Did ye never one and never for do my head dream?
Yo.
And only when the Akam when they catch a gun of force, Mesume Ba, Mesume Twas, what could you say?
Yes,
yes. Manipani wounds the wound him, say Hanakamu, Nancy Mesuba, may ye?
Yes,
yes. We and it's our womb by Juadi. Now, who refers to say, ya, ne, you know, may badia, Yabaka said, and ye be at Yakim.
So, Evans, what the Asantehene is trying to say is that, well, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia should come clear to the people of Ghana. He should lay out his vision and what he intends to do when given the nod to lead the people in 2025. He should make sure that he admits what the Akufo-Addo government, the shortfalls that the Akufo-Addo government have made so far, and also be specific with his own vision, especially with his vision and his aim of digitalizing every sector of the economy. And that is clearly what the Asantehene have to say about the shortfalls and how Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia should admit to that.
And there were other chiefs there who had their own demands of the vice president.
Well, Evans, the Bantu Mahene and the Oyokohene were given the chance to address the vice president, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. After the vice president had his chance to speak, the Asantehene had to speak, but then the Asantehene designated the Bantu Mahene and the Oyokohene to first speak before he, the Asantehene, would take on to address the vice president. Well, when the Bantu Mahene had the chance to speak, he asked the vice president to be bold about his decision to or his digitalization drive. The chiefs earlier on, when they met the vice president at the Asante Regional House of Chiefs, clearly heard what the vice president said about digitalization and then giving them living allowances. And so for the Bantu Mahene and the Oyokohene, it is left with the vice president, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, to be bold when elected as president to make sure that his promises are delivered well to them.
Sebi, Debia Yura, Oka, privatization of the economy, who has him? Say, bed and I were a buying soon, a sundodo. Abra, Nipa Okroma, Ejuan Nibino, Ombet Maya. Nti odi ne ni ahwe ho no ye beda na se na bebi a ye de beka ho no ye decentralization of the government at the district assembly level e ho na me say ne say on hwe ho num kakra na government powers no o muntimi decentralizing the kakra ye beda na se
on koso oba on make sure say inyama wa ka no oniso on fa nye dwuma pa time bi aban bi beba no oba be ye ade a dede no aka kire na oba mu a wonye saade no ti yesre no wonye de waka no cause ye de ye tie.
And that is the Oyokohene who first spoke, asking the vice president to decentralize his government when he's given the nod to lead the people in 2025. The vice, the Bantu Mahene, who took on after the Oyokohene, also asked him to be bold. He says that he must be bold because the chiefs are listening. And when given the nod in 2025, the vice president fails to comply to all the promises he himself has been making to them, they would come back to him and remind him of that.
And Bawumia himself, what was his own assurance to the chiefs?
Well, the vice president has assured the Asantehene and the Kumasi Traditional Council of his commitment to living up to his promises, especially when it comes to the fight against illegal mining and how he intends to tackle them, and also his promise of giving them living allowances, and also the fact that he intends to amend portions of the Chieftaincy Act to make sure that enough power is given to the chiefs for them to also be able to contribute to the governance system.
Small-scale mining is concerned. The person ahimfo bear more involved so that you bet me a check it galamsey at the district level. But as long as the chiefs have an interest in the mining, no, they will make sure say ebeko ye and there will be no distraction. A review of the Chieftaincy Act, Section 63. Media me share said the Ghana AC Kono. M say ye tika kra. Usha Ahimfu are not as involved in governance of the country.
Nana, and the vice president, apart from meeting with the chiefs, has also been meeting with some professional groups today, and also been taking a tour through the town.
Well, Evans, yes, that's true. The vice president, right after his engagement with the Asantehene Otumfuo Osei-Tutu, met the Asante businessmen at Ahojo, where he also laid out his vision on import duties and how he intends to tackle the city with gold by backing the city with gold, and to also make sure that businesses thrive in 2025 if elected as president. After that, he has met the Kumasi Kejitia Market Queen Mothers. Just right now, he concluded his meeting with the Kejitia Market Queen Mothers, assuring them of his intention or his policies in making sure that businesses do thrive when elected president. Well, they also raised concerns about the second phase of the Kumasi Central Market project, which has been stalled for quite some time now. The Vice President has assured them that he is going to make sure that the President and government attends to that project in no time. And so this has been how the Vice President wraps up his campaign tour, his three-day campaign tour in the Ashanti region, Evans.
And I thank you very much. He's been following the Vice President there. Also joining me right now on the line, I want to bring in the campaign spokesperson for the Bawumia team, Dennis Miracles Obwaju, who joins us on the line right now. We'll also be speaking to Professor Ali Lusedu, who's the head of the Political Science Department at the University of Ghana. Miracles, thanks for your time here on News Night. One thing that the Asante Hine admonished the Vice President about is one that he should own the challenges that the economy has gone through. In fact, in his words, he should be frank about them and be honest with it, acknowledging that indeed there's been challenges. Has the Vice President done that on this tour, talking to the people and acknowledging that indeed we have a challenge, we have an economic crisis on our hands that would affect a lot of the promises that his piece is making for 2025 and beyond? Hello, Miracles.
Hi, Ivan.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Sorry, I had a little bit.
Okay.
So thank you. I think today the Vice President successfully is bringing his story in the Ashanti region to an end. And it's been a very engaging 3 days campaign tour. I listened to Nana, who has been with us throughout the period, and I think it's given quite a very vivid picture of what's been going on. The Vice President, indeed, in all his engagement, has acknowledged the obvious challenges that our economy has gone through in the past 2 years, but also at the same time has also outlined some of the successes that we've achieved in the midst of these challenges. And then he's outlined what the vision and the plan for dealing with these and several other sectors going forward would be. That has been the outline for the Vice President's conversation. He always goes into where we have come from, and then he would go into what we've been able to do, what the challenges have been, which he speaks of as well, and then ultimately what he believes is the way forward for us as a country.
One of the things that he said in this tour in the Ashanti region is promising the chiefs what he calls a living allowance. How is he going to fund that?
Okay, so you know the living allowance is already there. You know, paramount chiefs in this country are already being paid. In fact, they are being given allowances before we even came into office as a government. Since we came, it was around 400 cities, if I get that correct. And then subsequently, this government increased it from 400 to 1,000 cities for paramount chiefs. I think what Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia has been rather talking about is to bring in the divisional chiefs and Queen Mothers into that bracket. So he is not promising anything new for chiefs. He's rather trying to bring in some other categories of chiefs, i.e. the divisional chiefs and the Queen Mothers into the bracket. And he believes that we need to treat that as part of our cost of running this country, the same way we are taking care of all other public sector employees or service providers. The reason is chiefs are crucial. In his view, he finds the chiefdom very crucial and critical towards the development of this country, especially when it comes to governance at the local level. And you know that when you get into paramountcies, the chiefs who are really in touch and actually in touch with the people are the divisional chiefs. They are the ones who are holding various arms of the paramountcy, and they deal with the people on daily basis. And so if you find it prudent to pay the paramount chief, and if you want to really get these chiefs to help in pushing development at a local level and helping with the governance and keeping the fabric of our society together at a local level, then we might as well bring in the divisional chiefs and the Queen Mothers. And that's a commitment that as a country he believes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
We need to do.
So that's definitely then will increase the numbers that the state will have to take care of. How is it funding that?
With the same way we fund all other public sector employees or workers.
Yeah,
that's
specifically
the same way we have to find money to pay.
Yes.
Today, as we speak today, we have employment going on for teachers. We have employment going on for medical doctors. We have employment going on for local government staff. Auditor General is employing. We are finding money for it. And so we'll find money for this as well.
How much is that going to cost you, though?
I don't have the cost at the moment.
How many chiefs in all, paramount chiefs, divisional chiefs, queen mothers, are you estimating you have to take care of?
I believe that the divisional chiefs and the paramounts are already being paid, so you can bring that in. But the divisional chiefs, just as paramounts are being created all the time and they are being roped in because they are being taken care of, the divisional chiefs and the divisions as we have within our traditional system, no matter the numbers, we have to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to get them to also contribute towards the development of this country.
And let's talk about Ashanti region for a second. I mean, this is the party's stronghold, and it's been said quite widely that his running mate will come from the Ashanti region. He's been there now. And in the lead up to this, you hear people talk about that Ashanti region will be very central to either your defeat or your victory. Now that he's been there on the ground, he's felt the mood there. What's the overriding impression, reflections that you're taking out of that stronghold?
Evans, MPP will win these elections come December 7th. And we're going to win it resoundingly. And it will not be a shock because from what we've heard, not just from Ashanti region, but from all the 16 regions that we've visited so far, it's clear. The people of Ghana believe that the future is at stake. They believe that in every country there are successes, challenges. But what is crucial is that they just have to make a straight choice between a former vice president and a former president who has had a chance to do whatever it is that he can do for this country. And they are poised and committed in ensuring that they elect Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia to also bring on board the fresh ideas, the new things that he believes he has for this country. The people are eager and anxious to see all the things Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia speak of come to fruition. You heard some of the chiefs you played saying clearly that they want Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia to stick to his word and pursue the things that he's talking about. And so the science in Ashanti region is one of expectations, in one of high expectations, let me put it that way, one of anticipation for the new chapter of Ghana's development, the new ideas and the new way of doing things that Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia has been talking about. And the people are really looking forward to that. That is why we are leaving Ashanti region today with all confidence, highly inspired, that we need to continue to push forward to ensure that we get the entire country rallying behind Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia to win this election and win it resoundingly. You saw the numbers. You saw the enthusiasm of the people. Every sect of the people that Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia engaged in the last 3 days, you saw the energy. And that sends a very clear message to the rest of the country that Ashanti region is ready. Eastern region is ready. Central region is ready. Northern, Upper East, Upper West, Northeast, Savannah, Volta, Greater Accra region, Western, Central are all ready to ensure that we see a Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia presidency come January 7, 2025.
Well, Professor Ali Dusedu, he's gone back now to the party stronghold. He's met with the Asantehene and the chiefs there. How important is it that this happens? And you've heard the take there from the campaign team themselves. They believe they've seen enough there to indicate to them that it will yield fruits on December 7. You share that view?
I thank you to you, Evans, and to your listeners. I think Dr. Mahamudu Bamiye's campaign in the Ashanti region and why he has done all this far, I will analyze it at two different perspectives. One, the strategy or the method, and then two, the messaging. So in terms of the strategy and then the approach or the methodology, I think it has been fantastic so far. His ability to go deep down to the grassroots, door to door, house to house, have been able to meet identifiable groups, either market women, chiefs, traditional authorities, business community, and all those things. I think that has been good. The decentralization of the campaign to the grassroots level, to the doorstep of the ordinary Ghanaian, is one of the most effective ways to campaign. Even though critics say that, oh, people are bad, people are brought from different places to come and cheer him up, at least he has decentralized the campaign to the doorstep of the ordinary voter. And a lot of people do appreciate it. So in terms of the optics and then the strategy and the approach, I think is one of the best and one of the most effective way to reach out to the voters. The second level is the messaging. And it is quite clear, it came up strongly, maybe indirectly, from the Otunfo's admonishment and word of advice for him that he should acknowledge the current challenges that the country is going through and also acknowledge, maybe he didn't say that, but the second bit I want to add is that acknowledge that he is part of this government and perhaps part of the problems, and this is how we are going to address it moving forward. I think to that particular level, there have been a little bit of disconnect. Either to some extent, the vice president is promising to reverse the things that this government has done, which he is part of, maybe to some extent distancing himself from it. Or maybe it has been a dose of campaign promises, which arguably our economy may not be able to support from January 2025. So realistically, I think it is important that as descendant as we Ghanaians are, politicians are very measured in what they say, looking at our history and our current state of the economy and resources that we have at our disposal, and be able to connect to the people in a manner that when they come to power, they are able to redeem the promises so that it will restore confidence back to the ordinary voter to believe and actually hold in high esteem that when politicians say they will do this, they will actually do it.
Hmm. Professor Ali Dusedu, thank you very much. And earlier you had Miracle Dennis Abuaje there, who's a director of communications at with the Bawumia campaign team. If you're in Ashanti region, I want to hear from you on the tour that has ended today with the vice president there. You're still listening to Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. And I want to take it to Parliament now, where the minority, they've given the government 24 hours to clear all global fund medical consignments from the ports. Hundreds of containers of medical supplies shipped to Ghana has been locked up at the port for over 2 years because government has failed to waive taxes on the goods. Now, after clearing 14 of the containers this year, government is unable to clear the remaining 185 due to the cost of demurrage. Now, civil society organizations on health have already declared their intention to protest over the delayed clearance. They're going to be protesting on June 25th. Now, addressing a press conference in Parliament today, the ranking member on the Health Committee, Kwabena Minta-Kando, says Ghana currently owes some 33 million cedis of the country's counterpart funding. Listen to him.
I knew, and I've always known, that this government is irresponsible. But I didn't know this level of irresponsibility. This level of irresponsibility is unprecedented, to say the least. And it will shock you to know that even when Global Fund was shipping these commodities to Ghana, they added something for clearing. And per my calculation, they added not less than $2 million. And Ghana government gets back to them and he tells them that, look, we have increased our port charges and therefore the money you have given us is not enough to clear these commodities from the port. Who does this? Who does this? And these services or grants has taken place since 2002. Till now, we have cycles, and we are now in our seventh cycle. And the seventh cycle alone, we are benefiting not less than $248 million and an additional $100 million. Even the counterpart funding we are supposed to pay. And this counterpart funding, it is not money that must be paid to Global Fund. It is show me evidence of procurement. Whatever you need, 15% of the money I'm giving you. So the 15% of the 248, go and buy whatever you need as a country and come and show me the evidence and I'll continue to give you whatever you need. And even with that counterpart funding, it's tug of war.
I want to bring in my colleague, James Abeji. He's been at that press conference and joins me right now on the line. And James, so what action is the minority side proposing that they'll be taking?
Evans, Honorable Akando has made it clear that if the materials or the containers are cleared from the port, they would employ every other measure available to them, and that could include dragging the minister responsible, the ministers of finance as well as the health ministers, to the floor of parliament. You know, this press conference came at the back of a meeting the minority side of the committee held with leadership of the CSOs in health as well as the representative of the CCM. And he said that the indication they got is that the situation is dire. There could be a shortage of the items they have listed in there. And so reason why they want government to take an immediate step to clear the goods.
Just respect to the president and his vice president. This country is not for them. This country is governed by the taxpayers' money. And the taxpayers' money must be put to judicious use. And with immediate effect, the president and his vice must make sure that these drugs are cleared from the port to save lives in this country. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can justify this incompetence. And to tell you the truth, I was part of the delegation to WHA, and it was an embarrassing scene. We were embarrassed. It came up in three side meetings. In all the meetings, we bowed our heads in shame. It's an international embarrassment. And therefore, Mr. President and your vice president, at least the right to healthcare is enshrined in the 1992 Constitution. And which you should not continue to disgrace Ghana like you continue to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is our expectation that within the next 24 hours, we must hear something positive with regards to the clearing of the containers containing the drugs from the port.
Well, the health ministry, they've told us that we can expect a statement in the next 24 hours on this unfolding story as it relates to the uncleared medical consignments at the ports. And as you've heard this week from the Ghana Medical Association, if nothing is done, we're going to have shortages in tuberculosis and malaria drugs across the country. In fact, the Ghana Medical Association says some hospitals are already experiencing shortages as far as these drugs are concerned. It also includes insecticide-treated mosquito nets too, especially at a time when we've seen the rainy season is here and the breeding of mosquitoes become an issue. We're expecting to hear from the Health Ministry in the next 24 hours. When we do, we'll tell you what they've been saying. So listening to News Studies on Joy 99.7 FM. Still ahead, uncertainty over this year's BECE and WASI examinations because of the indebtedness of WAEC.
After basic education, we won't talk about that because they owe them well over 90 million.
The BECE is coming on next month, and they need to prepare financially with resources.
That if the trend should continue this way, then they are going to have problems with the conduct of the examination.
We have details for you because government owes them 300 million CDs and they also owe their suppliers huge amounts of money. Printing of the papers itself is a challenge. We'll bring you details after business. Hello, James.
Hello, Evans. Coming up in business tonight, Gavin Star Station expresses concerns over impact of high transportation cost on inflation as he calls on policymakers to address issues causing fuel price increases. And government targets small businesses and infrastructure projects with $2 billion fresh funding from the Afri-Exim Bank. Business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Centex Tanks and Pepsodent Charcoal and Herbal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. I am James Ishan. Let's settle for the details. And the government statistician, Professor Samuel Kobnenim, has advised government to address issues influencing cost of the transportation in the country. He gave the advice after he announced that transportation components recorded a month-on-month inflation of 10.5%. Inflation for the month of May 2024 declined to 23.1%. But stressing on the high cost of transportation, Professor Kobnenim advised policymakers to pay attention to factors driving inflation to go up in the sector to mitigate its impact on the public.
In this case, what I want the media and policymakers to engage discussion on is not food inflation, but in this case, is transport, where we are seeing a month-on-month transport inflation of 10.5%, when overall month-on-month is 3.2%. And we all do appreciate how transport permeates across the other items that we have in the basket for the computation. So a conversation that I really wish will be on the table going forward is how do we ensure that the consistent but slowly increases in prices of fuel at the pumps would slow down and possibly see reduction going forward.
And that was government statistician Samuel Kobnenim there speaking. Now let's do some other stories. And Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam says work on some critical stalled infrastructure projects will resume soon. This comes after government announced a significant milestone in its debt restructuring journey, having reached an agreement on a memorandum of understanding with its official creditor committee. Dr. Amin Adam, speaking at a press conference, said government is still on course to implement other measures to stabilize the city.
We also expect disbursement for stalled projects, which I talked about earlier, to also resume. I'm not able to tell you exactly when. Some have indicated that they will start disbursement immediately. Others want to wait for us to sign the bilateral agreements, which we hope to do in the next few weeks or months. So that will also come in to boost our reserves. And you know the implications of increasing reserves for the currency.
Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam is the finance minister. Now, the International Monetary Fund will, in the coming days, set a date to meet on Ghana's second program review and approve some $360 million for the country. This was after the official creditor committee officially informed the IMF about a debt restructuring deal reached with Ghana. George Riafi has the rest of the story.
Joy Business is learning that the official creditor committee, in an email formally communicated to the IMF, about this development and the impact on the whole debt restructuring and sustainability going forward. Now, based on this development, Ghana has now met all the conditions needed for the IMF board to meet on the country and approve the second tranche funding to government. The fund was initially looking at financing assurance from these bilateral creditors, but it looks like the IMF now has more than what they were even looking forward to aid this meeting on the country. This development will also trigger other donor funding for Ghana in the coming days.
A report by George Riafi there. Now, government has revealed it will be targeting small businesses and infrastructure projects with fresh funding from the Afri-Exim Bank. Ghana is currently negotiating with the Afri-Exim Bank for $2 billion to support some sectors of the economy. Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, Abinah Osei-Asare, has been speaking to Joy Business in Nassau, Bahamas, on the sidelines of the Afri-Exim Bank 2024 annual general meetings.
Coming here to also interact with our partners, including the Afri-Exim, to make sure we get some support, especially for the SME space. Next month, the president is going to launch the SME Growth and Opportunities Fund, and we're looking for some monies to fund the private sector, because we believe that it's not just the public sector, that the private sector and the public sector must come together to propel that growth and transformation that we're looking for. So that is what
what this mean going forward in terms of more funding for other critical sectors in the economy from the Afri-Exim Bank?
Yes, we're working together with our partners, with the Afri-Exim Bank. We will take advantage of every opportunity that the space that we have locally will allow us to, and then collaborate with them to make sure we bring in some more funding. But currently, as I speak, we're looking at infrastructure. More importantly, we're also looking at supporting the SME Growth and Opportunities Fund that the government is going to launch next month.
Abnoti Atsari is the Minister of State and the Finance Minister. And that's all for Business on Newsnight with me, James Ishan. Over to you, Evans.
James, thank you very much. Now, there is uncertainty tonight over this year's basic and senior high school certificate examinations. The minority in parliament has been detailing the extent of government's indebtedness to the West Africa Examination Council, WAEC. Government is yet to pay preparation cost of over 300 million cedis to WAEC. The council consistently raised concerns about government's failure to release the funds. Now, the BEC is just a month away, but the outstanding payment threatens to disrupt the administration of the exams. Listen to the ranking member on Parliament's Education Committee, Peter Nochukotoy.
We still have some arrears of 2022 to be cleared, which is about 9,972,000 for the 2022 WASE, which is outstanding. Then again for 2023, before Friday, it was 56,515. They have paid 10 million. So remaining 46,515,000 Ghana cedis being owed to WAEC. As for 2024, government has not touched it at all, which is in the sum of 178,342,000. That is what they are owing. So if you put that of WASE together, it is 224,857,000 total for WASE alone. 2022, 2023, and 2024. Now, if you come to BEC, for 2023, they have just 698,000 outstanding. 2024, the cost is 95,837,000. They have given them only 2.3 million. Now, 93 million is outstanding. So if you put what is outstanding plus the 698,000 for 2023, there is an outstanding money of 94 million on the 2023 and 2024 BEC to be cleared.
Well, Nochukotoy also revealed that WAEC is currently losing experienced examiners due to the council's inability to pay for services provided.
What is happening is that they are losing seasoned examiners who moderate the questions, who prepare the marking scheme, and do a lot of things for them, because they are coming to do work for you, you are not paying them. So they don't want to do it again. So you see that they have to take on new examiners who are not experienced, and that is creating a problem for them. The rate at which they are losing seasoned examiners, if it is not stopped, WAEC will have a big challenge in delivering on a quality examination for us as a country. Because if the examiner does not understand the depth of the or the content of the answers or the questions, and he goes to mark anything, he will be subjective. Either he will undermark, let me use the word, undermark a candidate. You see, will not give the candidate the deserved grade or mark. That is where you're going to have the challenge.
Well, he's also been talking about the potential impact of this failure of government to release the 300 million cedis to WAEC on the forthcoming examinations, both WASE and the BECE.
The issue is that government or the Minister of Finance should not wait until we make noise before they release money for the conduct of the examination. Last year, we had to do it. 2022, we had to do it. Do we need to do it again this year? So I was proposing to the chairman of the committee that we should invite the Minister for Finance, we should invite the Minister for Education, then we should invite the national officer for WAEC, so that we sit down and then probably draw a roadmap and see how soon monies can be released to WAEC to enable them to conduct the examination, because the BEC is coming on next month and they need to prepare financially with resources to carry out their mandate. So they need money. Then again, August, the WASE will also begin. And it's all about money. So our call is, let's meet these people, especially the one holding the purse, and see how they can release money to it, to the WAEC. Because 224 million Ghana cedis that they are withholding from WAEC, I think can go a long way to alleviate their challenges.
Well, my colleague, Mamisi Nyamisha-Chomsing, has been looking into this and talking to her sources at the WAEC ahead of the examinations. And Mami, what have you learned?
So, Evans, I'm picking up that the exams will indeed come on from the 8th of July to the 15th of July. And as I speak to you, printing of examination papers are ongoing. The thing is, we are unable to confirm whether there is enough money to fund the printing and other logistics needed for the exam. And we know that a little over 500,000 candidates are to be partaking in this exam, which is coming up in about a month's time. And that's what the examination body is preparing for. Indeed, my sources at WAEC admit that government owes the council and some payments have been done, but we're yet to get the full complement of how much.
Also joining us with some thoughts on this is the Vice Chair on the Education Committee, Prince Hamidou Ama, joins us right now. Ms. Ama, thanks for the time. You're on Newsnight. So your colleagues on the minority side say the government owes WAEC some 300 million cedis that they're yet to release. Is that your understanding too, based on the briefing you've received at a committee level?
Good evening, everyone, and good evening to your cherished listeners. I want to state that this occurrence is always the case. It didn't start today. It has always been so. And because of the processes that the WAEC has to go through before the monies are released, we are not sure that, and I'm not saying that is a very comfortable situation, but just to make a point that this has always been the case over the last 10 years. The key thing is that if we take each of the examinations, we don't have to lump them together. In 2023, government paid over 80 million Ghana cedis towards the BEC. The 2024, out of the budget that they've made, government has paid 2.5 million plus, an additional 6 million plus, to WAEC. As of last week, Friday, the director of WAEC met the education committee in Koforidua, of which I was in there as a vice chairman, together with a ranking member. And they reported to us that they had received 10 million Ghana cedis. They are outstanding monies that need to be paid. But just to make the point that government has demonstrated commitment towards making payments and assuring that the examination are conducted timely.
But is what the government owes 300 million?
The point is that the figures that you mentioned, I don't know of 300 million. I don't know of any 300 million. I don't know where the 300 million is coming from. But what I know is that 2023, the total budget that WAEC submitted to the government in respect of the BEC was about 86 million 86 million Ghana cedis. The government has paid the entire money. We left with only 698,000. That's outstanding.
But there are arrears, are they not, from previous years?
This year, and as we speak now, you can cross-check from WAEC. They are not owing any invigilator. They are not owing any examiner. As far as being
what about the printers? What about the printing houses that they engage?
They are not owing anyone as far as the BEC is concerned. You see, there are distinctions. We have to properly disaggregate the information. So if we lump them together, we will not be able to assist our listeners to appreciate the issues. I'm telling you that the BEC is the first exam to be conducted. As we speak now, they are in the preparation of organizing the materials and the rest. Monies have been released, 2.5 million released, that have gone through the GIFMEX and WAEC has assessed them as I speak to you now, and I talk to you on authority.
And what about
6 million, additional 6 million has also been released. But you know that the whole exercise is a process. You don't release the money lump sum. It doesn't happen that way. They come continuously at any phase where money is needed, the payments are made. So I am very optimistic that by the time we get to the end of this month, additional monies would have been released.
Yeah, you've talked about the BEC. What about the WASI?
Yeah, so in respect of the WASI, I understand that last year, government made commitment and paid 40 million Ghana cedi towards WASI. This year, budget is in preparation. We need to complete BEC first before we can go to WASI and then start thinking about the financing of WASI. But what is before us currently is the BEC, and I've indicated to you that government has made commitment to it. And I've also indicated to you that the executive director or the chief executive of WAEC made a presentation to us in Koforidua over the weekend and admitted and actually shared with the committee that just the Friday before coming to the meeting, government had released 10 million cedis in addition for them to support the operation.
Thank you very much. That's Prince Ama there. He is a vice chair of the Education Committee in Parliament. A few of your messages on WhatsApp console now I want to share with the rest of the world. Sami in Kumasi says, no matter how enticing the promises are to the people of Ashanti region, for that matter, Ghanaians in general, the MPP will go into position, Sami says there. And another one also on the subject of WAEC, and David says, Nanado's government, he says, is an embarrassment to the world. He says, on the subject of the WAEC, toying with our health, devastating our educational sector by owing WAEC and many sectors as well. His thoughts there on the subject with WAEC. And we also have a comment there from Kofi Siri, who says Otunfuo's admonishment to Bawumia to take responsibility when it comes to the mess of this current government that it is part of is a clear indication that Mr. Bawumia can't absolve himself from responsibility. And I want to take a final one on that same subject with the campaign in the Ashanti region. What has Dr. Bawumia and his MP government done for the good people of the Ashanti region that makes him think he deserves their vote? Is a question that he's asked. And joining me right now for sports is Ms. Bao. Hello, Ms.
Yeah, hello, Evans. Well, the battle to, you know, retain your place in the Ghana Premier League is still on. Well, Dreams FC, until today, they were still battling to avoid relegation, but they managed to defeat Real Tamale United by 8-1 to, you know, secure guarantee safety in the Ghana Premier League. Now, for Real Tamale United, on the other hand, they are likely to face some severe sanctions from the Ghana Football Association after it was revealed that the club fielded some unregistered players in that defeat to Dreams FC. Now, RTU's registered players had boycotted the match due to 6 months of unpaid salaries. And in a desperate move to avoid forfeiting the game, RTU reportedly recruited players from Division 2 sides, including Galaxy FC. Now, this makeshift team were indeed overwhelmed by Dreams FC, leading to a record defeat at the Theatre of Dreams. And the GFA is expected to take stringent action against RTU with potential penalties, including a lifetime ban from all competitions. So keep tabs on that and see how the GFA responds. But still on the GFA, the Ghana Football Association Communications Director, Henry Asantechum, has cautioned fans to be measured in the expectations of the Black Stars after back-to-back wins this month. Otuado, the lead Ghana on match day 3 and 4 of the 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifiers, defeating Mali and Central African Republic in Bamako and Kumasi, respectively. And speaking to Joy Sports, Henry Asantechum acknowledged the strong start to the new era while sounding a caution to Ghanaians.
We have started on a very positive note, and we pray for more.
But in the course of this journey, I don't want to believe that Ghana will win every game. You know, there will be days where we will not play well and win. There will be days where we will play well and still not win. There will be disappointments. There will be a lot of pain in the course of this journey. But in all of that, we believe in him. We believe in the technical competence of the entire backroom staff, which is why we assembled them and we are looking ahead to our glory days.
That's Henry Asantechukwu, Communications Director of the Ghana Football Association. And even as we build into the Euros, remember, live commentary is going to be on your superstation Joy FM. It starts on Friday as Germany versus Scotland in the opening game there. Evans.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to it. It's all going to be here, right?
Yeah, we'll bring you commentary,
great commentary
on Joy here. Yeah.
Your prediction, who wins the tournament?
I'm thinking three teams, actually.
Okay.
Germany, France, and possibly England.
I was waiting for you to say
yeah,
England.
Yeah,
you know, England. Are they still saying it's coming home?
This time they're not saying that. I think they're being a bit more careful this time.
Better. Thank you very much, Bao. And you want to stay with us for that because we bring you exclusive commentary here on Joy 99.7 FM of the Euros starting this weekend. Tonight, the Chief Executive Officer of Cocoa Board is sounding upbeat about the fortunes of Ghana's cocoa sector, despite the battering the industry took in the last year. Cocoa Board saw a decrease in cocoa production in the first quarter of 2024 compared to last year, resulting in a fall in revenue by more than $500 million in the first quarter alone. Now, we've been hearing from him today on the Super Morning Show. He's been talking to my colleagues, Winston Amwa, on the show, and Dr. Boahing Edu blamed extreme weather conditions for the low production being experienced in the country.
First, you have the, you know, the structural problems. Climate change, of course, is number one. And then illegal mining. Mm-hmm. Then, of late, smuggling is also another factor. All these are affecting. Okay. But what has really affected our production significantly this year? Yes, our production is down. This year, very, very down, you know, can be attributed to what we call El Nino effect.
Which is?
El Nino. El Nino is extreme weather condition. You know, it's extreme heat waves generated in the Pacific Ocean. And depending upon where it is blowing, if it is, you know, moving across dry areas, it will bring dryness. If it is moving across water bodies, it will bring wetness. And last year, unfortunately for us, whereas the Mediterranean, Spain and other places, we had a lot of wildfires, we were experiencing excessive rainfall. Excessive. And cocoa doesn't lack too much water. When there is too much rain and the soil is waterlocked, the root hairs cannot extract nutrients.
Well, we heard from the former executive director of the Peasant Farmers Association, Dr. Charles Nyaba, who says government has neglected the sector, hence the dwindling fortunes being witnessed. You remember that today is Wednesday, and so we bring you fact checking. And we are focusing tonight on the claims made by Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia on the number of Ghana cards issued. He made this claim during his interaction with the youth in Dambai on the 31st of May 2024 as part of his campaign tour of the OT region. Head of our research desk, Raymond Akwa, has more on the claims and the verdicts in this report.
The MPP presidential aspirant claimed that the number of Ghana cards issued by the National Identification Authority is 17.6 million.
Today, we have issued Ghana cards to 17.6 million adult Ghanaians.
The vice president's claim is contradicted by the official data available on the website of the National Identification Authority.
Okay.
The NIA's official data states that the total registration as of 24th May 2024 stood at 17,920,903, with 17,793,172 being printed. The data further states that the total number of Ghana cards issued as of the 24th of May 2024 were 17,183,090, that's 17.18 million,
right,
which is below the 17.6 million stated by the flag bearer of the NPP. Again, if you take the other figure, which was released by the same institution on June 4th, 2024,
right,
as that's 4 days after the claim was made, the total number of Ghana cars issued was 17,193,142. Which is still below the 17.6 million stated by the flag bearer of the NPP.
Right.
Of course, in between the 24th of May and the 4th of June, the total number of cards that were issued was 10,052. And there's no evidence that the NIA has issued 17.6 million cards.
All the details of fact-checking today is on the My Joy Online portal. You can also catch it across our social media platforms. And just before you go, I have good news for all old Toms across the length and breadth of this country, because we've been bouncing back this year. We had a setback last year, but one-time champions, you know us, St. Thomas Aquinas. We've started the quest for a second trophy. As far as the national signs and mask quiz is concerned, with a resounding victory in the regional qualifiers. The old Toms, we faced some heartbreaking defeats in the past 3 years, as you may well know, but we are now eyeing the regional crown with newfound confidence. And we've been doing quite exceptionally well on the trail today. And so we're looking forward to winning this year, hands down. And there's a lady who's standing in front of me who's giggling and is giving me a certain sense that she's jealous because her own school has struggled in the past. What's the name of the school?
Seriously.
What's the name of the school again?
Seriously.
Was it Wege? Was it?
Is it Wege?
I'm just wondering.
Continue with your story.
Oh, I'm done.
Like, excite yourself.
Oh, I'm just wondering, what's the name of the school?
Wesley Girls.
Oh, that school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that school that struggles. They always like Arsenal, bottleless. They get to the end and then they just fall off.
Okay.
Almost there.
You're expecting an argument.
Almost
there. No, you people will display for us to see.
Okay.
We will be here.
We are here.